With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Ethanol plants boosting output sharply in early February, but fuel demand and exports still point to a cautious outlook for corn demand and biofuel margins. Data from the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production jumping 16.1% for the week that ended February 6th, 1.11 million barrels per day. That's 46.6 million gallons daily, and 2.6% above last year, nearly 5% higher than our three-year average. However, broader trends stayed softer as the four-week average slipped 1.9%. Inventories edging up to 25.2 million barrels, building in the East Coast and Rocky Mountain regions, but drawing down elsewhere. Gasoline supply, that's a proxy for fuel demand, improved modestly but stayed below year-ago levels, while refiner blending activity also lagged historical norms. Exports dropping sharply. We're now at a four-week low. It limits an important outlet for production. Small business confidence in rural America remains steady entering the new year, offering a cautiously supportive backdrop for farm-adjacent businesses, even as uncertainty and cost pressures persist. National Federation of Independent Business reports its Small Business Optimism Index edged down slightly in January to 99.3. It is, however, still above the 52-year average and reflective of continued resilience across Main Street communities. Now, for ag, the optimism matters beyond storefronts. Rural economies rely heavily on independent lenders, equipment dealers, grain haulers, processors, veterinarians, and service providers whose fortunes rise and fall alongside farm income. So expectations for real sales volumes improved notably, signaling that many ag-adjacent businesses see steadier demand ahead despite the tighter margins in production ag. Now, labor pressure showing signs of easing. That's a welcome development in rural areas where hiring challenges have lingered for years. Fewer owners citing labor quality as their top concern, though unfilled job openings remain elevated. Cost. That's a headwind. Insurance has emerged as a growing concern while price increases remain well above historical norms. Capital spending has climbed to its strongest level since late 2023. U.S. cotton growers planning to reduce plantings this spring as competing crop prices and regional economics are reshaping acreage decisions. National Cotton Council out with their annual survey showing producers planting 9.1 million acres in 2026, down 3.2% from last year. The majority of that is upland cotton, while there's a 14% increase in extra long staple cotton and Pima cotton. So based on normal abandonment and yields, crop projected at approximately 12.7 million bales. Yeah, that ELS cotton acreage forecast to increase. Arizona up 3.2%, California growing 8% more, Texas increasing by nearly 70%. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
In 2026, crop farmers will face another year of tight margins.
Mark Rosenbaum is Senior Grain and Oilseed Analyst with Terrain.
Cash flows from the 2025 crop are not likely to follow normal seasonal patterns and will be influenced by ad hoc support and other payment windows in the year ahead. Because of continued tight margins, cash flow will matter perhaps more than usual this year for tax planning, loan repayments, strategic input purchases for the 2026 crop, household spending, and other financial planning. Paying attention to this year's upcoming government programs, their rules and payment dates will be important for farmers as they work to manage cash flow for their operation. Among the programs slated for 2026 are the Farmer Bridge Assistance Payments from the 2025 crop, 2025 Area-Based Crop Insurance Indemnities, Remaining Supplemental Disaster Relief Program Payments, possible 2025 ARC and PLC payments, and possible crop insurance payments in the fall. Soybeans in particular were under pressure, with futures prices depressed and basis levels unusually wide across the northern plains amid China's continued absence from the U.S. market. Prices for many producers fell below total cost of production, discouraging sales beyond what was necessary to meet near-term cash flow needs. Terrain's analysis indicates soybean sales lag normal seasonal patterns early in the marketing year. During the first quarter, September through November, an estimated 37% of the soybean crop was marketed, compared with a more typical pace closer to 43%. As a result, more soybean bushels are left to market over the remaining three quarters of the marketing year than at any time in the past 15 years. Historically, an average of about 2.78 billion bushels remained unsold after the first quarter. This year, we estimate an additional 5.7%, or approximately 160 million bushels, will need to be marketed after the first quarter, assuming the ending stocks reported in USDA's January WASDE are accurate. The situation in corn is even more pronounced. Although the percentage of corn sold is near average, the size of the crop leaves substantially more bushels remaining. Historically, about 10.1 billion bushels of corn have been left to market from December forward. This year, we estimate that figure is about 9% higher, meaning an additional 920 million bushels will need to be sold during the last three quarters of the marketing year. The combination of slower soybean sales and average sales for a massive corn crop signal that farmers likely began 2026 with significant marketing work left. Now could also be a good time for farmers to assess how their marketing plans and anticipated cash flows interact. The payments for sales of much of the 2025 corn and soybean crops will arrive in 2026 alongside increased government payments. For any grain currently in storage, whether on-farm or in commercial storage, consider how the ongoing carrying cost of those bushels balance with expectations for how markets will evolve in futures, basis, or both in the months ahead. With average operating note interest rates near 8%, the cost of carrying grain is higher than it was during the lower rate environment of the recent past. On-farm average carrying cost, assuming a 9-month storage period, could total about 10 cents a bushel per month for corn and about 14 cents per bushel per month for soybeans. These estimates are based in part on Iowa State University's grain storage cost calculator and incorporate upfront expenses such as drying, handling in and out of storage, transportation, and debt service or return on invested capital averaged over the storage period. The interest component alone accounts for an estimated 2.5 cents per bushel per month for corn and 6.6 cents per bushel per month for soybeans. Total marginal carrying costs are likely closer to 1 cent per bushel per month higher once additional variable expenses are included, such as labor and the risk associated with maintaining grain quality. Individual farmers' costs may be slightly different than these averages. To take a closer look at individual estimated cost of carry, check out the calculator tools from Iowa State University or a similar one adapted by North Dakota State University.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So the question has been, are we there? Have we pushed prices to a point where we've got a consumer that's pushing back? Or can we continue to push?
Kevin Good with Cattle Facts.
So our premise is that we feel like we're there. We don't see demand destruction academically, but we do feel like we're pushing the envelope, so to speak, from a price point standpoint. With that said, think about our prices today. This is just taking retail prices and adjusting them for inflation going all the way back 50 plus years. Retail prices today are the highest they've been going back that far. So is there more dollars in the system? Is there more real dollars in the system today to support cattle values as we move over the next few years? And I think the answer to that is yes. Demand is better than it was the last cycle. We talked about supply earlier. We're not going to grow supply like we did the last cycle. That'll continue to be more supportive longer. Demand, we would suggest, better than it was 10 years ago. Obviously, this data point would suggest that. At the same point, we're outpacing our competition by a mile, aren't we? You think about this. Since the low water mark in beef demand back in 98, our prices have gone up 2+% faster than the rate of inflation. Those are real dollars. Those are real dollars in the system that can be spread all the way back down to the cow-calf operation. So this will continue to be very supportive in our mind as we go forward. Do we worry about it? Do we worry about the price point compared to us in our competition? Absolutely. The market has climbed the wall of worry for the last 2 years. This is a demand-driven bull. So we got to recognize that the last cycle, it was a supply-driven bull. Even though demand was picking up, it was supply. Today, on a per capita basis, supplies are flat, prices are higher. This is a demand bull. We've done an excellent job as an industry. We can't lose sight of what brought us to the party. With that said, looking at this just basically as where we're at compared to our consumer, and now we're taking into account the wages. How many minutes does it take to produce or to buy 1 pound of beef? And you can see we're getting towards the top end of it. You know, compared to the last cattle cycle, you can see the blow off top that we had back in 20 with the COVID. You can go back to 2003 blow off and we had to come back down the ladder. So some of the same message, but also the message is, where is the long-term trend? Continues to be higher. We continue to be more valued by our consumer as we move forward in here. So with that said, as we wrap up my portion, this is a suggestion. Look at where we're at compared to where we were at the low water mark. You can see that we've gained back 10% market share of dollars spent. That's been massive. 1% this past year with prices where they're at represents over $3.5 billion. So this has been massive as far as where we've came from over the last 25 years plus. So as we move forward, I think we as an industry, we need to continue to value the demand side of our aspect. We've got a consumer that's very willing to pay for the product. Do we worry about the price points? Absolutely. Relationship also, we need to recognize if we do have a downturn in the economy, that's negative for beef demand. So we have to be conscious of that as we think about the overall economic conditions. But by and large, in summary, supply side, yes, we're turning the corner. It's all about Mexico as we think about the next 12 months. Whenever the border does reopen, obviously we'll have more supply as we move down the road 6 to 9 months after that. Domestically, supplies are going to stay tighter a little bit longer. Demand continues to be stellar. We would suggest that is the case, but we do feel like we are at a point in here where we're probably pushing the envelope to some degree.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
There's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of movement by both sides of this conflict. But really, when it comes down to it, the chances that we're going to see an out-and-out fight that causes shipments of the Strait of Hormuz to stop or slow significantly, I think it's pretty low. But given the importance of the fertilizer market, specifically on the nitrogen, a little bit on the phosphate side, it's something we do need to watch. And it could not be happening at a worse time of year.
Josh Linville is with StoneX.
A lot of the Northern Hemisphere getting ready for spring season. Of course, you've got markets like Australia who are also ramping up and getting ready for their application season here in a couple months. It could not happen at a worse time. So when you look at it, we want to focus on the Persian Gulf. And of course, most notably, the Strait of Hormuz, the most narrow part of that waterway. When you think about who is on or behind that waterway, well, three of your top 10 global urea exporters sit back there, have to flow their product through that waterway. Three of the top 10 global anhydrous exporters sit back there. Saudi Arabia, one of the top five global phosphate exporters, sit there. So again, this is a very, very low probability event. But in the small chance that something does happen, we still have to pay attention to it, because if all of a sudden we start to see that, hey, Iran is, you know, launching missiles and rockets and boarding ships and things like that, and vessel owners say, listen, we're done, until you can guarantee me safe passage through here, I am not sailing, the world's going to focus on oil. And in fact, that's what we've seen Iran already do, is start to board oil vessels. We've not seen anything for fertilizer, but if fertilizer starts to get affected, I don't want to say the impact is going to be immediate, but it's going to feel very, very immediate.
Luke Lindberg is Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs at USDA on trade missions.
We have an aggressive schedule this year of trade missions where we're pairing the agribusiness trade missions that USDA has always hosted, which typically is about six or seven markets a year, with our newly established rapid response Trump missions that are designed to take folks into markets where the president again, signs new trade agreements, opening up new market access. So we're basically doubling our efforts on that front, because the most important thing for us to get sales done and to put dollars back in farmers' pockets for the crops they're growing, the livestock they're raising, are to build buyer-seller relationships. And so at USDA, we have the opportunity to help facilitate some of those. I was in Malaysia just a few weeks ago. I was just in Indonesia this past week. The president just signed trade agreements with El Salvador and Guatemala. I'll be there in about a month's time. We will be taking a Trump mission to Vietnam shortly thereafter. And even later this early first quarter, we'll be headed to, actually it's in April, to the Philippines. So we are aggressively getting out there to facilitate sales opportunities and again, get those contract signed, because a trade agreement is a good thing. It opens up opportunity, but the real win here is when we can get product sold, and that's what we're focused on in 2026.
Says we've learned over time.
One of the key challenges during the first Trump administration, when I was at the Export-Import Bank, was one of the ones that U.S. agriculture faces today, and it's diversifying our buyer mix, right? We oftentimes have been overly beholden to China as a buyer. And the more that we can build resiliency and new buyers into our overall matrix, it's an important aspect for us to be working hard on. If you go to any small business owner or any business owner out there and you say, would you like to have one buyer that you sell all your products to, or five or six or 10 buyers? I think most folks would like to have that 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 or more buyers out there. And it's the same thing with us. We can't be overly reliant on any one market. And so making sure that our foreign buyers who want to buy American have the financing they need is a critical component.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
In late February, Farmer Bridge assistance payments are expected to land in farmers' bank accounts shortly after applications are signed with the Farm Service Agency. This money could be useful for paying down operating lines, paying outstanding input bills, securing last-minute inputs, or rebuilding working capital for the crop ahead.
Mark Rosenbaum is Senior Grain and Oilseed Analyst with Terrain.
Between January and May, remaining SDRP payments could be paid out. Though many of those payments, either for SDRP 1 or SDRP 2, have likely gone out by now, the deadline for filing those applications is currently April 30th. Between May and June, 2025 area-based crop insurance indemnities are typically paid out once county yields are finalized by the USDA's Risk Management Agency. In October, and for the 2025 program year, farmers will be paid the higher of ARC or PLC as authorized in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. For the 2026 program year, the decision for ARC or PLC returns to an annual election and includes changes to reference prices, benchmark prices, and other program components. The projected PLC payments are based on the marketing year average prices reported by the USDA in January 2026. Final payment rates, while potentially close to these estimates, almost certainly will be different as marketings and market prices evolve over the remainder of the marketing year for each respective crop. Payments could be larger than projected in cases where the ARC program pays more than these PLC estimates. These marketing year average prices will become more certain in the months ahead, as will the payment levels. Before the FBA program details to distribute the allocated $12 billion were even announced, discussions were underway in Congress about the need for additional aid to the farm sector in 2026. For now, we caution to not count on additional aid, but these discussions are worth noting. The revenue side of cash flow projections is not the only factor contributing to overall lumpy flows in 2026. Shifts in the timing of expenses in late 2025 and 2026 matter also. Fewer prepaid expenses at the end of 2025 and more purchases in 2026 can shift the timing needs of cash this year compared with other years, putting additional pressure on cash flows in certain months. This underscores the importance of cash flow planning. Now is a good time for farmers to prepare budgets and cash flow projections, if not already done so. These are important financial planning tools for informed decision-making on a range of operational decisions, from marketing to purchase planning, and can help efforts to control overall costs. If you have these projections and still have questions on where changes need to be made to return to break-even or profitability, consider outside help from your farm credit lender, a trusted advisor, or other specialized consultants. Last, remaining conscious of family living expenses or withdrawals in times of tighter margins is critical, as more bushels are needed to cover any level of living expenses at tighter margins. Apart from grain sales, farmers can expect up to four additional periods of cash infusion this year. In late winter, Farmer Bridge assistance payments are expected to land in bank accounts with a target date of February 28th. In early spring, small infusions of cash from any remaining SDRP applications that were submitted near the deadline are expected. In early summer, area-based crop insurance indemnities are paid out, if those are triggered. In early fall, ARC, PLC, and Conservation Reserve Program payments are paid out. Planning these in advance can help farmers have more productive conversations with their farm credit lender, provide better visibility into anticipated cash flows in the year ahead, and help inform crop sales and purchasing strategies for this past harvest and next.
And farm lending activity strengthening last year, producers relying more heavily on operating loans to manage the tighter cash flow and higher production cost. Loan terms adjusted alongside rising balances, and average maturities for operating loans increased by roughly 3 months from a year before, reaching record highs late in the year. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Demet, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So again, the question is, how far can we push the envelope as we think about cattle and carcass weights?
Kevin Good is with Cattle Facts.
We would suggest, again, we're still paid on pounds. Yes, we're probably pushing the envelope, but we would still suggest weights will be higher as we go to next year. With that said, production, you can see where we're at. We would have it down this year, have the cycle low in this year, and next year, with the premise that Mexico's open this year to supply cattle for 27, carcass weights up, you can see. Also, the point we want to make here, think about production, 2.5 million pound drop from the peak. What's occurred over the last 3 to 4 years? Imports have increased 2 billion pounds to offset that, and exports have declined. On the export front last year, very good, but going both to South Korea and Japan are one and two destinations. It was all about China and our packing plants being delisted. That's really the premise as we go through the next year. Will they be open? If they are, exports can look good. If they're not, they're still going to be a challenge. Imports, you can see that we still have them lower as we, or higher as we go through this year. In particular, why? You've got 90 trim trading at $4 a pound. You've got cow slaughter going to be as small as a year ago. And so if you just look at the relationship, the tighter your non-fed slaughter, and you can see the much steeper line as you've gone over the last 5 to 6 years, if we're not going to produce it, we're going to import it. Why is that? Because we've got a consumer that's demanding it because the demand is so stout. Comment about imports. This is looking at Brazil in particular. When we talked about U.S. production, really since the turn of the century, it's been about 26 billion pounds, plus or minus. Contrast that to Brazil. Started out the turn of the century down towards 14 billion pounds. Now, this past year, they've surpassed us for beef production as number one. Think about this also. We produce 20% of the beef on the planet with 9% of the cattle. Brazil presumes 20% with 20% of the cattle. Were their efficiencies going to gain over the next few years? Probably are. Have they overshot the runway? Yep, they probably have as well. If we think about that particular, both Australia and Brazil, if you look at the heifers and cows harvested as a percentage of total, it would suggest they're digging into their females. And so production globally is probably going to be tighter this year, maybe again next year, but we still are the best game in town. We still have the highest prices to draw trim in particular. With that said, per capita supplies, as you can see, have been relatively flat. If supplies are flat and you've got record high prices, what's that tell you about demand? Demand continues to be very stellar. We roll in pork and poultry. Obviously, a lot of our competition there, a much lower value. But our consumer continues to draw on beef as their destination. Just thinking about demand, this is our assumptions for the economy. We still think it's going to be very strong as we go through 26. Yes, some uncertainties around trade and tariff, political unrest. But generally speaking, people are working and wages are going up at the rate of inflation or a little bit higher. And then we've got to think about this. We've got to think about our consumer and think about what a tailwind this has been. Obviously, you see the big ribeye, you see the hamburger at the top. Very supportive for consumption, weight loss drugs, keto diet, protein in the diet, particular high quality protein. Also look in there. There's four items out of the dairy side. Is this going to be supportive of the dairy industry going forward? Absolutely. And think about the relation there as it means as far as calf production going into the feed yards.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.